Father in heaven, we thank you that our burden has been lifted at Calvary, Lord. We thank you for that. Thank you, God, for, Lord, all those years that we spent in vanity and pride, Lord. God, your mercy was great. Your love is great in reaching down to save a wretch like me, Lord. I just want to praise you and worship you. God, we want to serve you with all of our heart. God, I pray that you would just continue to work in our heart, work in our midst, work among us, Lord, this morning, Lord. I pray that you would just cause your word to prevail. I pray that sin would be exceedingly sinful, Lord, and God, that we would, Lord, if you lay your finger on things in our life, Lord, that we need to repent of, God, that we would humble ourselves, that we would not resist your spirit, Lord. God, it's because of your love that you make us uncomfortable, Lord. Make us uncomfortable when we have sin in our life, Lord. We thank you for that great love. Thank you for Jesus who died on the cross and that rose again to set us free and that we can live in victory, Lord, today. Thank you, God. We just praise you and just pray your blessing upon the service here this morning. Pray that you would just help me, Lord. Give me utterance, Lord, that I can speak your word, preach it in clarity. God, that you might be lifted up and that you might be exalted. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Welcome and greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here with you, brothers and sisters, with the church here at Faith. I'm blessed to be here. I would enjoy to just sit and listen. I do count it a privilege to be here in spite of being here behind the pulpit. I do want to welcome everyone here. There's a lot of faces I don't know. There's some of you, a lot of you that I do know as well, and some I have not seen for many years, or for a while anyway. I just also would like to put a disclaimer concerning the message I'm preaching. I guess a disclaimer on the behalf of the elders here. They did not ask me to preach this message, so I probably feel more free to share the message I have on my heart here. I would rather not preach it down in Woodbury, where I come from there. And you'll understand maybe a little bit later. But so I'm just sharing that as a disclaimer. They did not ask me. They have not shared things with me that prompted me to share this either. So I do think it's something that we perhaps sometimes miss, sometimes lack. I was going to pick on Brother Mark this morning. And I don't see him. He's not here. Would you want to be his backup? No, Brother David. Yeah, I wouldn't mind having you up here. I know I'm going to have a little object lesson. I know Brother David didn't ask to be involved, as this is totally a surprise to him. God bless you, brother.
Bless you.
Let that thing jump off. I need my brother's help now. There we go. That's better. I bumped your face. That was why I think I'm... Yeah, that should be fine. I need my brother. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to just do this little object lesson here at first, and hopefully the reason I'd like to do this early on is so that you can... maybe think about this. I don't want to keep you up all the time that I'll be sharing, but I do have a task for you. I have this rod here for you, and I'd like for you to just maybe stand close to the wall. Don't lean against the wall, but I'm going to make a mark about, if you just stand about right there, hold up your arm, hold it up higher than that. Come on, like this, brother. Right about here, and I'm going to just do about like that. So if you just kind of make so your arm stays there and your just back over this way. This way, there we go. Yeah, just kind of have it out like that. So if you just stay right there and just hold it there for a little while. Don't lean against the wall. I'll leave you there for just a little bit. So take courage, brother. The task sometimes gets heavy, sometimes gets weighted. And I wasn't quite sure if I should choose to have an elder to be here or if I should choose one of the others, the members of the church. But I thought it's an okay object lesson for the elders. Sometimes they don't get so much involved with an object lesson. But here we have Brother David here, an elder. And he has a task to do. And God gives us tasks to do. He gives us obligations, responsibilities, and so forth. And I know he can read my notes, so he knows where I'm going with this probably. But if we give him maybe about at least five minutes there, I'll try to encourage you. You know, if it gets a little heavy, it's okay. And let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. We start in verse 17 there. First Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, it says, and we're going to read down to verse 21. It says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others may also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality." I'm going to stop with that. Here it says that the elders that labor among you, and Brother David is laboring among us this morning. He's laboring with me here holding that rod. But he labors. I know there's other brothers that I know. Brother Jared's preaching next week. You know, laboring among you, laboring in the word, pouring themselves out. And sometimes the task gets hard. Are you okay? It's a little bit crooked there. There you go. It sometimes the labor gets hard. They need some encouragement. They need some encouragement. They need somebody to come along and encourage. This scripture here in 1 Timothy talks about giving them double honor. And I know we can take that too far. You can take it. This is for you. This message is for you as a congregation. I know an elder can take this and take this too far and ask for the church to almost make an idol out of them or worship them. And I'm not saying that you should do that. But it says here, it's scriptural, to count them with double honor. Give them respect. Honor them doubly so. If you honor someone in the congregation, it should be your elders. Especially so. It should be giving them that. And it specifically says to not muzzle the ox of that treadeth the corn. It uses that scripture. And I believe that also falls into the financial. I would encourage you, give where there's financial need, especially perhaps, you know, your elder maybe, you know, give and take. There's sometimes when they're some elders maybe have a business that can just kind of go and it works and they can take time off of work and the income is not such a big issue. But especially so for young elders, and that maybe of the children. I think of you, Jared. I don't know where you're at financially, but Brothers and sisters, you know where your elder is at better than I do. Honor them, respect them, care for them where they're getting a little weak. Brothers, could we have a brother go get a chair? I need a brother to get a chair. Could we do that? And I need another brother. Then maybe that brother can just stay up here. Yeah, if you could just come up here. And if you wouldn't mind just stepping forward there a little bit. Yeah. Could you put the chair behind him? And if you wouldn't mind, go ahead, brother. You can sit down. And now if you wouldn't mind, just kind of hold his arm there, because this is pretty important for him to hold that. Yeah, make sure it gets heavy sometimes. Yeah, there you go, brother. Sometimes the load gets heavy. I know it might seem a little bit comical, but this is reality when it gets into a spiritual battle. The battle's real. We're not just playing games. It matters so much, your response as a congregation. You know, this brother, he could be critical. Here's Brother David toiling, holding up the rod, holding up the Word of God. He's holding it there. He could be critical. Your arm's getting heavy, you know, and complaining about, why aren't you keeping your hand up there? But instead, he's there lifting it up. He's holding it up. He's holding it up. It's much easier, isn't it, having another brother there? Amen. I think that's good. That's good. You can go sit down. God bless you. You get the picture? You get the picture? You could be standing here and you can be critical. Or you can be there encouraging. The brothers wanting to lift up righteousness, holiness, the way of God, the way for you to walk in, the way for you to, maybe he's laboring the word, maybe it's not any specific issue per se. It might not be that, but just simply trying to encourage the flock, encourage the congregation to press on and to press into the kingdom of God. But sometimes the toil gets hard. Honor them with double honor. And whatever that may be, whether it be financially, whether it be just a little extra time, maybe coming over to your place for lunch, just a little free time there. Or maybe it's not even that. Maybe you hardly have a chance to visit with your elder because he's so busy. Pray for them. Pray for them. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but honor them. Honor them, your elders. I'm going to write the title on here. Actually, I have that as not just the elders, your elders. Lifting up the hands of your elders. I know, I believe it's not only the elders. I think this word elders in the Bible is actually used interchangeably, some with elders, those that lead out in the church, as well as those that are elder among us, or those older ones among us. It's used some interchangeably. but I think specifically, in this context, in 1 Timothy, it's talking about those that labor, those that are in the Word, those that are leading out. So point number one I'd like for you to take home is honor them. honor them, honor the elders. That's found very clearly there in 1 Timothy chapter 5. if we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just one, two verses there, verse 12 and 13. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Esteem them highly. Does Brother David or Brother Mark, do they have any faults? Do they sometimes respond wrong? Brother Jared and other brothers here, you all deacons here, do they have any faults? The rest of you, congregation, do you think they have any faults? Any? Be honest. You see, you're kind of a little bit scared to say. I assumed they do. They do sometimes have faults. And that's true. I have faults. I'm an elder there at Woodbury. I have faults. We don't respond right always. We don't always handle situations right. But when you esteem someone very highly, you respect them. You honor them. You're careful about, maybe you know that there's some need there, you know, and so forth. But it makes such a difference how you come and you approach that need, perhaps even in their life, or how you encourage them, how you lift them up, how you support them. I know my dad, just an example of honoring, if someone, this is an example of honoring your elders among you, but if I think of it as when, if somebody speaks a little bit, words that are bringing down my dad, or a little bit of kind of against my dad, or something down that line, what happens? Because I honor my dad, my heart cringes. It hurts. It hurts me. Even maybe I won't intercept always. Because my dad's a mature man, and he can answer quite well. He can whatever. But my heart cringes. It hurts when I know that somebody has said something unkindly, or they don't understand my dad. I honor and I respect my dad. And so maybe afterwards I can come along and I can encourage him. Don't let that bother you. Don't let that hurt you. I love you, Dad. And we respect. We give the elder. It's important for us to give them double honor. Those that are laboring among you, give them double honor. Honor them. Also, just jumping back to 1 Timothy, you don't have to turn to that. In that same chapter, the very first verse, it says, rebuke not an elder. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Entreat him as a father. That's respect. And the younger as brethren. And the elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters with all purity. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. I think that's very, very important. Sometimes the elder does maybe deviate from what the perfect way should be. Maybe, or at least you think so. Maybe we think so, or whatever. We face those things. Those things are very true, very real. But it matters so much. If I see Brother David going aside from the way, I can see. I think a way that I could entreat him is, Brother David, have you considered this? And just I have something on my heart I'd like to just share with you. Just it burdens my heart, just the direction maybe. Just have you considered this verse? You know, it's entreating. It's pleading. It's not saying, David, you're wrong. If you don't stop, you're going to go to hell. You know, that's rebuking. That's a clear rebuke. Rebuke, not an elder. Brother, you know, have you considered this verse? Have you considered this verse? That's honoring. You're perhaps opening his eyes to something he hasn't seen. I know I'm picking on you, David, because Brother Mark's not here. So, as an example for you as brethren here, if things come up that you struggle with, entreat with carefulness. Entreat. Honor them. The other thing that we can do is pray for them, and that can kind of go along with that honoring. Pray for them. Turn to Romans chapter 15. And we'll read two verses there. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, so you don't have to turn to all these. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says, remember them which rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And when I think of remembering, one way that you can remember those that rule over you or those that are guiding the church is pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. You know, David's arm was getting... It doesn't take very long sometimes, and it especially depends what the subject is, what the struggles are in church life. Our hand gets weary pretty quickly. David is not... David, the elders among you are human just like you are. And they need encouragement. They need that encouragement. So pray for them. Romans 15 there. You're probably there already. Romans chapter 15, verse 30 through 32 there. Actually, I'll read down to 33. Romans 15, verse 30 says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. He's asking, please pray for me. Pray for me, he's saying, that I may be delivered from them who do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may be with you, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. He's asking that they would pray. This is an elder asking that they would pray for them. And this is Paul, I believe, here that's requesting that. That they would pray for them. Pray for him specifically, that he could be delivered from those that do not believe. And but he's asking for prayer. He's asking for support. I should have asked, had David stand here and say, tell me that I need some help. I recognize that. But that's the same thing can be true for you as members of the body. Without him asking for help, without the elder among you, those that are laboring among you, without them asking for help, you just simply see, you know what? They've been laboring hard. They've been laboring a lot among you. There's been a lot going on. I need to pray for them. I need to support them. I need to step beside them, because you know how quickly you would get tired if you were in their shoes. Pray for them. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, you don't have to turn to a few of these. I would like to have you turn to some of them then. But Ephesians, I'm just going to pass over this pretty quickly here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, pray always with all prayer and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It says, for all saints, and then it says, and for me, that utterance may be given. So we should be praying for everyone, for all of us. But what I see is it highlights, pray for, especially for those that are laboring here. And it says that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. For I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In Colossians 4, it says, continue in prayer. So remember, we can honor them, we can pray for them. Pray for your elders. Continue in prayer in Colossians 4, if you want to look up that verse. Colossians 4, 2 through 4. And also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Excuse me. It says, and actually in verse 25, it just says, brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. And in 1 Thessalonians, again, it says, finally, brethren, pray for us. Finally, brethren, pray for us. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 1 and 2. I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to Exodus. This is a bit where I got my picture from. And it's a very, very familiar passage, but a very beautiful picture of lifting up the hands of your elders. Lifting up the hands of your elder. Exodus chapter 17. Why don't we stand while I read this here, this passage? Exodus chapter 17, and we'll start in verse 8 and go all the way to the end here. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8, starting there, says, Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let it down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. You may sit down. Here Moses was called to do a task. He was called out. you know, it wasn't Moses' thing. Moses didn't just dream this up that, oh, yeah, that'd be a nice idea. You don't hear this. Amalek's coming. I should probably be in charge here. And I'll stand up here. I'll take the easy job and just watch over and let the others fight. And I'll just stand here, hold my rod up. You all do the work. You know, I'll stand here. No. God gave him a responsibility, and he told him that, you know, he was supposed to lead out there with the people. God gave him the responsibility to do that, and so he did that by saying, hey, Joshua, I need you to pick out some men, and I need you to pick out those men of war, men that can fight, and I want you to go and do that. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be standing up there on the hill, and I'm going to be with the rod of God in my hand, and I'm going to be holding that up. Because we need God's help. We need God's help. Moses couldn't have won the battle if it wouldn't have been for Joshua and the people that were with him. He couldn't have won the battle. Neither could Joshua have won the battle if it wouldn't have been for Moses standing there with the rod of God in his hand. You notice what happened? As soon as his hand went down, the Amalekites, they started pressing in. They started overcoming him. They started coming in, and I don't know exactly what all happened there, excepting that somehow they realized they were losing. As soon as the arm of Moses went down, and it got heavy, it went down. If the arm of your elder goes down in discouragement, in the responsibilities, in lifting up the Word of God, in encouraging, the church will fail. The church will start losing in the battle. The church will start losing in the battle if you don't hold up your elders' hands. The battle is not with the church down the street and you trying to gain more members than they do. That's not the battle. The battle is against your soul and my soul. The devil would like to get you. And he would like to get your elders discouraged. He would like to bring them down. He wants to make that arm heavy. He wants to make that arm heavy, and he wants to make you discouraged. Your response as a congregation has more to do than you realize with the outcome of the church as a whole. Not just your elder, but the church as a whole. Your response, there's a huge responsibility on you. Honor them. Pray for them. Honor them and pray for them. There's a whole lot more that I could say on that subject. I'd like to just impress the verses 11 through 12, 11 and 12, actually, just those two verses. Just like Frida, just think about those verses, especially in the passage that we just read. It says, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. The reason they won the battle is because they were working together. They all knew they needed each other. Aaron and Hur could have been there just being critical. This leader among them, get your hands up. They're losing the battle. Get your hands up. But no. They saw there's a need. They saw there's a need. And they knew their leader needed some encouragement, needed some help. And they did something about it. Moses didn't say, hey, please bring a stone. They were like, hey, how can we help our leader? There's a stone. Why don't you we need to bring that thing over here and we'll have him sit down on that thing and we'll hold him up. We'll help him out. Moses didn't, at least it's not recorded, that he asked for a stone to sit on. He was just getting tired. The congregation saw he had a need. The congregation, there was maybe some other support team, whatever you want to call Aaron and Hur there, but they saw the need and stepped forward. And it was an effort together. And Joshua, I don't know what all he was doing, if he was fighting the battle and every once in a while he'd look up at Moses. I don't know if he was doing this or not, but the Lord's on our side. Let's go. And I don't know if it was that drove him on with courage or what. And then when his hand went down, if he was, oh, Lord, we can't hardly hold out. Just the battle is too hard for us. I don't know if it was that encouraged him, or just supernatural strength. What all happened there? But they realized they were dependent upon their leader. Their leader knew they depended on him. It has to be that way for the church of God to prosper. It has to be that way. These things, this subject is extremely hard if you're struggling with your elder this morning. This subject is extremely hard for you, and I know, but I would just really plead with you, consider those things. Consider this thing of lifting up the weary hands. Don't be critical of your elder. There may be needs. There may be things that need to be talked about, encouraged, but be careful. Be careful. Be careful with that. It can do much more harm than you realize, because you could actually be pulling down that arm and cause a defeat for the church. Lifting up the hands of your elders. One more aspect that I'd like, one more piece that I'd like to add to that, and there's so much in this whole lifting up. I know you brothers, you're mature. There's many mature among us here this morning that you all can take this further, but I'd just like to encourage you all with these words. One more part is obey them, and I know... for some of us, that's a scary word. We don't like that for some reason. For some reason, we don't like that word because we're all adults. Come on, you know, we're all adults. We know how quite well to handle life, and you know, why would we need another brother to speak into my life in such direct ways about maybe some little, maybe the kind of car I buy or the type of clothes maybe the elder comes to my house and shares a concern and says, brother, could you consider this? I just don't appreciate the way that this is not the way we want to go. This is not the way we want to go. They plead with you. If your heart can say, maybe you don't see it just right away, but if your heart can just say, amen, I wanna consider that. I wanna open my heart to that. I wanna consider what you said. And you just humbly take that. You obey them from the heart. It might not make sense to you, But I'll just tell you this much. There's a secret blessing, a hidden, maybe not a secret blessing, a hidden blessing that you will not experience if you don't learn this one, this thing of cheerfully obeying. And to you elders, I know you know this as well. Jesus clearly talks about not being lords over God's house, you know, not lording over. And I know that's, I just encourage you, you know, keep that in mind. Don't, whatever. But this is biblical, brothers and sisters. Obey them. Obey them. I know there's some teachings out there that they're just the same. They're just, you know, you don't have to. I don't think so. I don't think so. And yes, we are not lifted above the church as an elder. But there is, sometimes I just wish I could just be, not be an elder and just preach a little bit more from that perspective. And because there is a lot that the churches around us, the Church of Jesus Christ, I think is missing in some of these very things, in respecting elders, honoring them, praying for them, and obeying them. There's a lot, I think, that's being missed today. Sometimes, and I almost don't like to preach this because I'm an elder myself, but this is why I don't preach this. So I would struggle preaching this at home, at the home church. I would, if somebody would ask me to share my heart, I wouldn't mind, but I would struggle because it would seem like lift me up and in some position that, you know, that's not my heart at all, and that's not what the brother's heart here is, I don't believe. You should not lift up your elder in flattery. You should not lift them up and just make them feel real, you know, gushy and all those things. Honestly, with a pure heart, honor them, support them, encourage them, lift up their arms. They are in a battle. You are in a battle against the enemy of our soul, and all he cares for us is defeat. All he cares is defeat. That's all he cares. We have no time to be tearing down our elders. We have no time to do that, brothers and sisters. And I speak that. I don't want to speak it as a position of an elder myself. But we have no time to be doing that to our elders. We need to respect them. God has, and this, I know Paul was an elder, and he noted these things, he mentioned these things. And I'd like for you just to turn to Hebrews chapter 13 again. Actually, I'm not sure if I had you turn there before. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. It's a beautiful passage. and I know there's others as well, and I will let you all expound on those later or either in your private conversation or testimony time or whatever. This is, to me, specifically speaking concerning the subject of obeying them. It uses the word obey here. And I know some people have chewed some of these verses, some of these things to pieces and almost made that they don't... I know it talks about obeying them that rule over you, and chew even the word rule, and you know all those things. I just think the Word of God is just pretty simple. It's not so hard. It's not so complicated. There's a lot there, and I know if you go into Greek, maybe it doesn't use the exact terminology, but that heart is there. That the context is there that supports, I believe, what I'm sharing with you this morning, the thing of obedience. And it doesn't give me the picture of a tyrant over top of you. If you don't do so and so, you're going to get in trouble. It's not that type of an obedient or I don't see an elder. Generally speaking, that shouldn't be needful. There are sometimes times where an elder has to come and say, "Brother, if you don't repent, you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell." And you can, and they can share those things. And if you don't if you don't change your ways, maybe we can't continue fellowship here. And some of those things, those are very, very hard things. But this, I would just encourage you as a congregation, flip that thing around with a desire to obey. Instead of I have to obey, a desire to obey. I want to obey them that rule over me. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 and 18. I want you to get this. I really want you to get this. Obey them that rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for it is profitable for you. Then he goes on, he says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But obey them that have the rule over you, submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Those elders, I know you all know this, if you've ever approached anyone that you've had a burden and a concern for, I don't like confrontation. I don't know about you, but I do not like confrontation. If I see a brother that's struggling with maybe direction of the church, the direction that we feel that we would like to go, I do not like to confront that. I just don't like it. I don't enjoy that. That's not my personality. I struggle with that, and maybe almost to a fault, because I can sometimes let things go too long. But if, I'd just like to share this with you as a congregation, if a brother comes to you, even if he's not an elder here, if a brother comes to you and shares a concern, take that. Don't resist that. Open your heart to that. You don't know what a struggle he went through just to open his mouth. Just to open his mouth concerning that need in your life. And he may not see it all perfectly. He may not see it all perfectly. He may not. It may come out kind of crude, kind of awkward, not with the best verbiage, not with the best words and all those things. But take that and consider it. I would encourage you, something that's been a blessing to me is when somebody reproves or points out a need in my life or maybe even a different opinion. And those of you that know me know that I need this. is sometimes just don't respond right away. Just don't respond right away with your defense, whatever, your response in defense. Let it soak in. Take that to heart and let the Lord work there. But I'd like for you to catch the phrase there where he says in verse 17 there, it says that they may do it with joy and not with grief. You know, your elder can lead. He can lead, but it might be with grief. And the reason that he would have to do it with grief is because he has to share this concern. And he has to share this concern, and he has to share this concern. But it seems like it's not being heard. It's not being heard. And it's in the context of obedience. It's in the context of obedience. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, if you have the heart to obey, and you have the heart to, maybe you don't see it exactly like Brother David is sharing yet. Maybe you don't see it exactly like that, but your heart is to support and to encourage and to open yourself to that direction that's given to you. If that is your heart, David is going to have joy in his heart. Brother Mark is going to have joy in his heart. Brother Jared, the other brothers that labor among you are going to have joy in their heart. They know that when they share that concern with you, it's going to click. It's going to register in that mind of the brother or the sister that they've shared it with. And they're going to go home, and maybe they don't see it right away, but they're like open before God. They want to have a clear heaven, and the next Sunday when they meet, it's with joy. It's with freedom. It's with happiness, a free heart. That's where obedience, when you experience that kind of obedience, it frees your heart. It frees my heart. A few quick verses here in light of this obeying, that they may have joy. I just thought these things, these verses would be noteworthy. In Philippians, why don't you turn to Philippians? We'll catch a few of the verses there. There are other verses as well, but I just thought maybe if we turn to Philippians, I'm just going to grab a few verses that talk about the joy that the Apostle Paul had. If you go to Philippians chapter 4, chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, and catch what's happening in Paul's heart. I like to bring it into the context of obedience, which maybe stretching a little bit. I know he talks about prayer here as well, but I just think this was Paul rejoicing. Philippians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Always in every prayer of mine for you." I should just jump up in the beginning of the verse there. Let's go to verse 2. "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, every time I think about you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy." You notice that? Making request with joy. Whenever I think about Brother Joseph, it's with joy on my heart that I think about him. This is what he's using as an example here. "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord of Jesus Christ." With joy. When he thinks about him, with joy. And if your elders can labor among you, and you have that heart to obey, the heart to work with them, to support, to encourage, and so forth, with joy. Their memory, their the things when they think about you, it'll be with joy. It'll be with joy. Go to chapter 2, verse 16. I'm just going to read that verse instead of the whole context there. "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." You know, your elders among you are laboring. And for us, I know we as working men, if you've been working hard and you, at the end of the day, you just kind of feel like you got a little bit of nothing done, it kind of makes you feel like a flat tire. It makes you feel like a flat tire. Brother Dirk knows what that's like, right? Flat tires. The Apostle Paul here, he was hoping he didn't labor in vain. He was hoping he didn't labor in vain. And you will bring, when you obey, when you do it so that they may do it with joy and not with grief, they won't come home at the end of the day and wonder, "Was my labor in vain? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it was much use for me to talk to that brother, because I'm not sure if it was received. I'm not sure if it was received. Or can he come home? I was so blessed. He connected with that. He just seemed so open. He received it well." Brings joy. That brings joy. It brings joy to those that labor among you. Go to chapter 4. Same book, chapter 4. Philippians has some wonderful instruction for us, or wonderful examples in that way.
Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 there. It says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. The Apostle Paul was saying, you're my joy. I love you. You're my joy. You bring joy to my heart. You bring joy in the way that you respond, the way that we can relate. He says, my joy. Just a few more verses. You don't need to turn to these. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, it says, for what is our hope or our joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. You are the joy of your elder. You are the joy of your elder. This is what the Apostle Paul is referring to in 1 Thessalonians 2, 19 and 20. I think sometimes we don't make a big enough a deal about the joy that you are as a congregation. Maybe that's something that we need as elders, you know, to express that joy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, for what thanks can we render to God, again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Anyway, just in conclusion again, your elders are standing there lifting up the Word of God to the best of their understanding, to the best of their knowledge, to the best of their ability. And they're reaching out to God for help. They're reaching out to God, and they also need you as a congregation. They really need you because their arm gets weary sometimes. Their arm gets weary sometimes. Lifting up the hands of your elders. Support your elders. Go underneath them and encourage them. And some very practical things that I believe you can do, like we've mentioned here, honor them, pray for them, obey them. Some of the ways that you can honor your elders is maybe invite them over for lunch without having an issue that you need to discuss. Just bless them. Maybe bring them a box of some fruit, whatever. Just bless them. A note in the mailbox, a word of encouragement, lifting them up. That's honoring them. Pray for them in your closet when nobody else sees. Pray for them. Pray for the message on Sunday. Pray for the brother that's preaching. Honor them. Pray for them. And obey them. When they give instruction, obey them in the way that they can rejoice. Not just that you, I had to change my clothes because church made me. I guess I obeyed, you know. That's not going to bring joy. That's not going to bring joy to the elder's heart. And I know we don't go by rules so hard and whatever, but I think sometimes we think we can just kind of do how we please then, and we don't really respect our elders because we don't need standards. Consider those things. Lift up the hands of your elders. I'd just like to leave that as a word of encouragement for you. And again, just say I was not asked to preach this message, but it's been a burden on my heart, and just feel like sometimes it's easy for us as a congregation to be critical when things are not handled right. It's easy for us to do that, and I know Sometimes things are not handled right. But if you would entreat as a father instead of being critical, just be careful with those things. Honor them with double honor. That's a very scriptural way that you can minister to your elder and encourage them, pray for them, and obey them. Anyway, let's pray, and then I'll turn the time over to you, brother. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word. Thank you for this. Lord, just even the clear direction that you give to us in respecting our elders, Lord, and we thank you for those that labor among us, Lord. We thank you for their example. Lord, I pray especially for the elders here at the congregation. I pray that you would just encourage them and help them, Lord, to be faithful, Lord, even when the road gets hard. I pray for the congregation here that they could come around their elders and lift up their hands, Lord, when they're tired, when they're weary, and be an encouragement and be a blessing and be there to support them, Father. I pray, build your church, build your kingdom for your glory, for your honor. God, you are worthy. Lord, you have a right way, Lord, and I just pray, help us to walk in that right way, Lord, as a congregation, as a body, Lord, as we try to function and minister to the needs among us, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.